Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into the Six Again podcast. This is round 10 Magic Round preview, and we're going to build it up as the NRL have done for Magic Round. Biggest weekend of the rugby league calendar, and it's kicking off with the Knights versus Bulldogs.
Yeah, look.
Seriously.
I honestly reckon it's the game of the round. Everyone's going to be flocking to this one.
Everyone, get down there, brave the weather to watch.
Look, anyone who gets to see an absolute superstar of our game, Matt Croker.
I was about to say the Croker superstars that in the second game. Thank you. Lachlan.
They got to put it somewhere. What game would you like 6 o'clock on a Friday night?
Well, one of the best games of the round will be the Manly Broncos rivalry because we don't like each other.
Oh, God, get out of it. No one cares about that game.
They obviously do because it's the only game since Magic Round started that hasn't changed fixture or time slot because...
Yeah, isn't it Manly's home game?
Yeah, it's same as Bulldogs' home game.
Because you mean... No, but that's the thing. You've been buying the Suncorp Stadium for about 5 years. We went to this doubleheader, whereas Manly's home game about 5 years ago. So it's only because Magic Round, Broncos are going to lose their sheds anyway, so you guys just paid for the right.
Teams do the same thing, you know.
No one gives a shit about Broncos. Everyone's going to turn off at 6 o'clock.
They could have put...
No one cares.
The only games that should not be the early one on the Friday night would be the Bulldogs Knights and the Storm Panthers. Any of the other games would have been fine.
I'm just happy.
Game would have been good? Put the Cowboys on so you have a Queensland doubleheader to kick it off on the Friday night. Cowboys first, Broncos second, as opposed to Cowboys being the last game of the weekend against the Tigers.
Yeah, but that means Newcastle should be playing anyway because we're the closest team to Queensland. No one cares about Manly, man.
It's Broncos home stadium. It's a big game. It's always, even when it was standalone long time ago.
It was never standalone when you went there. It was always a doubleheader when you bought that game.
We used to play on Sunday afternoons, actually.
You're actually paying the Broncos to play at their stadium. And this is what you guys have done. You pay the Broncos to play at their stadium. And the only advantage you get is their change room. And you get to play Eagle Rock sometimes. There's no other advantage to what you guys do.
We get the income from the game.
Oh, no one gives a shit about that.
Yeah, the club does. Jeez. The other seven, but you're just jealous that the Bulldogs get it and you don't get it.
There's no money in people going to games anymore. Bloody hell. It's all about the TV rights.
Of course. But Suncorp being one of the most overpriced vendors in the country helps.
You wouldn't even be able to pay a quarter of Cherry Evans' weekly wage with what you're earning tomorrow night.
I don't know where you're getting your numbers from, but I wouldn't go there.
Cherry Evans is on overrated amount of money, that's why.
He is. He's still on a minimal amount of money.
He's like the top 5 player in the minimal amount of money.
You know my opinion. Top guy should be earning like 2-3 mil plus. But the game doesn't know how to grow its money quick enough, but it will in a few years. We'll get there.
Nah, that's too much money for one player.
No, it's not enough.
Especially if someone who's dodgy is scary.
Oh, you wish you had him. So, lots to talk about this week.
I stick with Phoenix Crossland every day of the week. Definitely better.
And on that note, let's move on to some serious stuff. Talk about a model franchise, the Dolphins. The NRL had a walkthrough this week to get up to speed with the Dolphins' plans, how they're moving forward with regards to football, commercial and financial. They came away very confident. The Redcliffe-based club was well advanced in their preparations for the 2023 season. They believe they'll be a competitive premiership team. I think they're going to add a whole nother dynamic next year. So at the moment, they have 12 of their 30 signed. We'll go through a couple of new signings they did in our signing section. And the Dolphins themselves know that obviously the job's not done. They're looking at new ways of being more effective and efficient in the way that they do things. It is a jump up from the structure that they've had in place for the time that they were the Redcliffe Dolphins in Q Cup. But I guess that's a vote of confidence from the NRL. But is this vote of confidence the same as when a CEO or club chair give the coach a vote of confidence and 2 weeks later they're out the door? We will see.
No one's going to know how they're going until they get on the field. A team's determined about how they get on the field. So I'm not really going to judge them until that happens. Like, success makes a club, failure doesn't. So if they fail in their first year, there's going to be questions raised about them.
Titans.
Yeah.
Hey, you still got the Titans and Warriors in the comp, so. Okay. Parramatta Eels are pleased to announce the re-signing of head coach Brad Dean Witters for the 2022 NRLW season commencing in August.
Parramatta Eels got a decent coach.
Parramatta Eels general manager of football, Mark O'Neill, said the extension of Witters was important for the club as they continue to build the NRLW program in preparations for its second season. So we talked about the Eels in the NRLW kind of, I guess, underachievers based on the talent they had there, in saying that it was a intro into the competition along with Newcastle and
Gold Coast.
Thank you. So obviously be looking to build on what they did. And depending on a couple of their key personnel, Matty Sutton in particular, where they get into New South Wales squad, could be out for a, not going to say a revenge season, but definitely want to show that they still have what it takes. Outside of that, all the other news really has been around rumoured signings, actual signings. Manly have extended the train and trial deal they have in place with James Seguiaro based on his performances in New South Wales Cup. It's nothing huge. You're looking to earn around $1,000 a week, but it's good cover for the club with Carl Lawton still out for a further few weeks as the main backup behind Lachlan Croker. Yes, not one of the best dummy half combinations in the comp. And there was talk earlier this week of Cam Munster and the Roosters possibly looking at signing him under their sombrero. Now,
they don't have a sombrero.
Interesting. So they would have to clear a hell of a lot of cap space because they've already got Brandon Smith coming in on 800 grand plus. They've got Keary on 850. Tedesco's on 1.1. Joey Manu's not off contract till 2024 and he's on 800 as well. They've already let go of Ronald Volkman, Freddie Lussick, but that hardly moves the needle. Sisafa Takiaho, Kevin Agama, and Sam Verrills have either decided. The futures of them have already been decided. We don't need.
I don't know. Wouldn't be surprised if Rhea Hargraves announces his retirement soon.
That would be great. That's still not going to open up enough. They were thinking
on about 750, I reckon.
No, we can bring it up on Zero Tackles. Usually got the most up-to-date stuff. We can have a look. But the talks around that would be in order for them to fit an offer to Munster, remembering that the Storm are offering him 750-ish, you'd want to be quite a way above that. Otherwise, there's going to be teams all over the place sniff around, a.k.a. the Dolphins. If you're looking at paying what's Munster worth?
To me?
No, yours will be wrong. What's he worth to the league?
Oh, me 700.
See, that's why you've got no charge over money. Jesus, what? $700. You serious?
$700. No, I honestly, yeah, it's 700 for me.
Wow.
And I haven't, I have a pretty good argument for that.
Good. Yeah, go for it.
You want to explain my reasoning on that?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he goes to Gold Coast, he's possibly one of the worst guys you want to build a club around.
What's Gold Coast got to do with it?
Oh, sorry, not Gold Coast, Redcliffe. They're going to pay over 1.2, 1.3 million. This guy is a very, very strong player in a good team, in a team that struggles when they lose. He throws his toys out of the cot. He's actually kicked people while they're on the ground multiple times when he loses. He goes missing. He sooks when he loses. Melbourne is fantastic because they're on a roll. He's cheeky. He's a confidence player. But, yeah, no, I wouldn't want him and my team if I'm building. He's not a leader from the front at all. And if I was Melbourne, 750 is a good deal because they're going to keep the player they've got. If I was Redcliffe, I wouldn't be paying over a mil because it's going to be a bad signing. And don't forget, this is one of the blokes who got caught with Brandon Smith at the start of the year, didn't he?
You're literally saying he's not worth 700 because he gets upset when he loses.
Yeah.
I'd say 100% of the NRL players get upset when they lose.
Not kicking people.
No, they show it in different ways, but...
No, but he literally, instead of fighting...
I'd also say he's got a bit better winning record than 95% of the players in the league too.
Oh, he does. And see, the thing is, when he's been in a worse team, like walking onto the field in a worse team, he doesn't fight. He doesn't scrap. He doesn't do anything. He just goes missing. And it sucks.
These are players from last year's final series that are on 700,000. Warrior Hargraves, Jerome Hughes, Tyson Frizzell, Damian Cook, Tom Burgess, Joey Arrow, Joey Manu, Angus Crichton, Latrell Mitchell, Gagai as a center, Regan Campbell Gillard, 750, Clint Gutherson, 780, David Clemmer, 800.
That's past overpaying that.
Yikes.
Look, look, reality of it is that he's good in a good team. I don't think he's good in a bad team.
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely a million-dollar player.
I don't... In the Melbourne system, in Rooster's system, he is. In Penrith's system, you can make an argument for it, but...
You've also got to look from the club's point of view. Salary cap's only one half of it. It's how much extra money that player can bring in off the field.
Oh, yeah.
And for a lot of clubs, that actually means more than the premiership for their survival.
Like I said, we had this conversation with Ponga a couple of weeks. His marketability is off the chart. With the Melbourne team they've got, I would put about four or five players ahead of him for as far as marketability goes.
Oh, yeah. I can take that.
But
to a club like Dolphins.
High profile Redcliffe. And let's face it, he won't be there until 2024 if they do sign him, because Melbourne already said they're not letting him go. But look, I think he would not be a good signing for him. I really don't think he would do well for him.
Even with all the other Storm boys going up there?
No. I don't reckon he would do well. I don't think that he can play well in it. I don't think he could. If he went to Bulldogs right now, he'd be struggling.
Well, look at who he... Yeah. I wouldn't say you'd be able to put any playmaker in that team.
Next year, Redcliffe are going to have potentially a worse team than Bulldogs this year.
I don't think there's a player in the comp that could go to the Bulldogs right now and make him better. Or make him good.
No.
You can make him better.
Make him better is probably not the right word. It's not even about that. I just think that if he goes to Redcliffe and he gets paid, you know, what ballpark between 1 and 1.3 mil is what it's been looked like. He's not going to be that leader. He's not going to be that franchise. He's good to be there as an absolute weapon on the field when he's, you know, when they're winning, but I wouldn't make him the marquee at all.
Okay. Pay him 1.3, but don't have him as the marquee player.
No,
you don't have to have a marquee player.
If they it's not. It's like
he's also going to be under Wayne Bennett there, who's probably the only other person outside of Bellamy that could get the same out of him. And
yeah, but it's not about straight. It's not about one Bennett. It's not about. It's more about who's around him. Yeah. Like
that's what I mean. Like the Bromwich
next
brothers
year,
going
they're
going to
have
it.
They're going to have a pretty serviceable forward pack. Their bench is going to look really weak.
Well, what we know of so far, yes.
Yeah. Like, but see, the thing about it is, and unless they break contracts, there's not many more people they can get.
No, that's true. I just like looking when they look deeper into this Roosters thing. In order to free up the money, the same as what the Dolphins could offer, you'd be letting go of Crichton, Hargraves, and Keary. That's a gamble.
I think Hargraves is ordering retirement. I think if you get one of the stakes and not bring Crichton to release Crichton. And Keary, yeah, I think I went a couple of weeks ago. I had my doubts about Keary as
it really like the Roosters are in a position that they're such a powerful club, but they've won, what, two premierships in the last 5 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Whatever they do doesn't matter. They've got their premierships.
Oh, yeah, but they still want to get better moving forward.
You want to win as many as you can, but they've got them.
Tell you what, though, I wouldn't mind seeing Munster with Manu and Tedesco.
That's what I mean. Like, you could get rid of, you let go of Hargraves, you let go of Keary, you let go of Crichton and bring Munster in. They're still in the top half of the NRL, regardless.
I agree with that.
You bring Nat Butcher up, you give him more minutes. We've seen what he can do in a full 80. Different player to Crichton, different skill set.
I can make a conversation for letting those go. I can't make a conversation letting Crichton go. You talk about markability, you talk about talent on the field. Crichton's got them both.
Yeah, he does. But if you're bringing in a player like this in a more premium, at a premium position.
How much is Tupou on? He'd be on about 4 or 5, wouldn't he?
No idea. That's why I want transparency. Anyway, let's move on. So St. George do not have to worry about Jack Bird going to the Tigers. He has re-signed with the club. It was the Dragons first offered him a 2-year deal. They've upped that to a 3-year deal, which is a mutual option for both player and club. That has been the cherry on top that's gotten Bird across the line, supposedly. The first 2 years are worth, again, approximately $550,000 a season. Like I said, a third being a mutual option. So I think first on that, I just got to pause for a sec. It's the first time he's had stability since signing that Broncos deal. Reasonable price, in my opinion. We've seen how much he's added to the Dragons this year, and hopefully that is a good relationship moving forwards. Anything on that one?
They've just got to keep him at 6.
Yeah, at least for another season, I'd say.
They put Sullivan at 14, and I think that'd be a good combination for St. George.
The Bulldogs have been boosted by the retention of local junior Jacob Carraz till the end of the 2024 season. What?
Right. He's a Newcastle junior.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
The Dolphins.
He played really well the other week.
Yeah. He's only played the one game, so hopefully he gets another crack sooner rather than later. Dolphins have announced the latest sign with Cowboys back row Connolly Lamelu joined the club on a 2-year deal. Got him as a back row. I thought he was a
About to say he's been playing back row for the Blackhawks this year.
He's a damn good player. I love the fact when him and Murray Taulagi were together, it was a great combo for the Cowboys, but he was the man to obviously make way after the Peter Hicko signing.
I wouldn't be surprised if he plays center next year. It's a good center option.
He played center the whole time he was with the Cowboys, pretty much. Yeah. Each game that he played. Did we talk about Freddie Lustig and Ronald Volkman going to the Warriors?
Yeah.
Dolphins have added Robert Jennings to their 2023 roster, with the Panthers winger to join the franchise from next season. So Dolphins NRL put it up as try-scoring weapon.
He is in reserve grade.
Yeah, he is in reserve grade. That's a nice way to put it. Now, I actually kind of really like this signing. So Dolphins have also signed JJ Collins and also teenage young gun Ryan Jackson. So Jackson's emerging Queensland prop. JJ Collins last played in the NRL down in Canberra, I'm pretty sure. Has had some off-field... Sorry?
I played for Newcastle for a bit. I didn't mind him playing.
Yeah, another one of those players who... It's hard to make a final call on him because he hasn't really had the opportunity. So I'm intrigued by that one, I guess, maybe more so than excited. And we've already talked about Jack Bostock being on a development contract with the Dolphins next year. All right, I think that's pretty much everything to do with news. We'll take a quick break and come back with updated injuries before we go into the team list for round 10. Okay, so there hasn't been many updates since yesterday. We did talk about Cam Murray being out 3 to 4 weeks, having surgery. It's undergo, I'm assuming, a clean out. That's generally what it means when they say a minor procedure. But since then, Warriors back rower Bailey Sirenin is set to be out of action for 3 weeks after being troubled by ostitis pubis. Now, while I wonder what that is, Jared's actually going to look it up, and I can't wait to see what pitches he finds. So Sirenin was at a jam last weekend, and he came on after Ewan Aitken was knocked out due to a high tackle. He lasted 12 minutes and is now having his workload managed. So he'll be sidelined until at least a round 12 match against Newcastle.
Ostitis pubis is inflammation of the pubis, symphysis and surrounding muscle insertion. So his butthole got inflamed.
I was waiting to see what word.
Surrounding muscle insertions. First describe a patient who underwent suprapubic surgery. It remains a well-known complication of invasive procedures around the pelvis. So yeah, what happens? He had a surgery in the pelvic area. It's a well-known complication of that after a couple of weeks, and then the muscles got inflamed.
Did he actually have surgery around there? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it's a well-known complication, so I'm assuming. But yeah, his muscles are inflamed around the pelvic region. How else do you want me to explain it? His butthole is on fire.
I was about to say that. I'm not going there. If you want to look it up yourself, go for it. Well, after that,
just so everyone knows, after that analysis, Adam actually had to stop. So, go me.
See, that's the silence we want to hear. Well, talking about what we were just talking about, let's talk about the two crappiest teams in the comp right now. So, there we go. We got Bulldogs versus Knights to kick off Magic Round on Friday night. Now, an inclusion that Bulldogs fans will be excited about, Raymond Fatala-Mariner has been included in the reserves as he closes in on a return from a complicated foot injury, but he's unlikely to return this week. Chris Fatala's inclusion on the bench is the only change from last week. And Jared can go through the changes for the Knights because there's quite a few significant 4 million. Ones.
So Adam Clune's back. I'm surprised Phoenix Crossland gets a run, but in saying that too,
Phoenix Crossland drops back to the bench.
Yeah, but Tex Foy kept his sixth jersey, which is cool. Right. Barnett and Adam Clune named to return. So he's just been doing hard fitness for the last 6 weeks. He replaces Jack Johns with a broken arm. Phoenix Crossland the bench. Suaso Su's been included in the reserves, but hopefully there's a late change. but there's no sign of Tyson Frizzell and Dane Gagai yet. Disappointing. The late changes with Sisasagi and Sosu with the 18-19. Avesi, Manit Fanango, and Jaden Okabor are the reserves for the Bulldogs. As Adam said, by far the shittest game of the round. Two struggling teams. But on the other hand, you know, it could surprise you. I doubt it.
As you'll find out a little bit later, there's a bit of money around the Knights at $2.10. And Bulldogs are at $1.74. So recent history of these teams, Bulldogs have won 8 of the last 11 matches against Newcastle. And unsurprisingly, 7 of the Bulldogs' last 9 matches have gone under the scoring line, which is generally set at 39.5, but in the Bulldogs' case, 33.5 points. So if you're looking for high scoring, this might not be the game for you, especially if it's wet. Although
I'm going Newcastle. What are you doing? There's no use in spending too much time on this one.
Bulldogs couldn't beat the Raiders last week, and the Knights at least look like they can attack at times. Barnett and Clunes are being inclusion. I'll probably lean Knights as well. I'm probably going to flip on this 6 or 7 times, but right now I'm going Knights.
Okay, next game. Broncos versus Manly. Just as much as a worse game as the previous one. Payne Haas and Kirk Capel return. Pat Carrigan goes to lock with Kobe Heffer to the bench and TC Rabadi to reserves. James and Turpin are along in the reserve, extended squad. See what happens there. And Branko Lee remains the 18th man.
For the Eagles, Olakau'atu is back this week as he was last week, but then he dropped out last week. So hopefully he's back for good this week. Schuster is still out with that calf injury that ruled him out late last week. Andrew Davey will return off the bench. And he actually started his season pretty well once he got back into the squad.
Considering how much Adam ripped him at the start of the year.
Yeah. He's running the lines really well and hitting the defensive line quite hard, which was pleasing to see. So as long as he keeps his game nice and simple like that and does it well, he should be serviceable. So outside of that, Ben Trbojevic has been named at starting center this week with Totu Kula. And that's pretty much it with the changes. So Davey comes in on the interchange. Ethan Bullimore retains his starting position. So you've got Tapau, Sipley, Davey, and Walker on the bench. Walker's been a bit quiet the last couple of games, maybe coincidentally since he signed with the Warriors. So interesting to see whether he can bring his form back out. I said to a couple of people at work, 3 to 4 weeks ago, I was looking at this going, man, it's going to be nice just to sit down with a beer at Magic Round and watch the Eagles go to work on the Broncos. And the last couple of weeks, watching how the Broncos have played, dismantled South last week. And to be honest, Cronulla were a bit out of sorts the week before, but you've got to give the Broncos credit for their defensive pressure that they put on the Sharks. Remembering last week's win was without Payne Haas and Kurt Capewell, and they come back in, which obviously makes the Broncos a stronger side. So this one has the potential to be quite an entertaining game. I'm interested to watch Katoni Staggs and Kula come up against each other as well.
Well, cool. Are you going Manly?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I'm not full of confidence, but I am confident it's going to be an entertaining game regardless of what happens.
I'm confident you guys are going to win this.
Thank you, Jared.
I really think so, but, you know.
Now, a game that could go however many directions. We've got Warriors versus Rabbitohs to kick off the Saturday slate. We'll just go over the odds for that one. You can get Broncos at $2.35, which is pretty juicy. and Seagulls are $1.60. And talking about decent odds, Warriors at $3, Rabbitohs at $1.39, which is a little confusing based on their performance last week and the fact that Cam Murray is out.
I'm going the Warriors this game. I reckon they're going to win it.
Yeah, so Warriors have the biggest inclusion of the week with Tohu Harris returning.
Massive, massive.
Where he'll play isn't a certainty yet. He's been named on an edge with Jazz Tavunga at lock. And if you remember back, Tohu Harris has played at lock ever since he's gone to the Warriors. So there is obviously suggestions he could play there. New signings from the Roosters, Volkman and Lassick are including the reserves and could come into the side that are outside chances at best. For the Rabbitohs, Tom Burgess returns after a late withdrawal last week and Davey Mwale goes back to the bench. So just to clarify the South forward pack, Keon Kolomatangi and Jacob Host are the starting second rowers. The Host is coming in place of Murray and Jai Arrow shifts back to lock. Cody Nikorima is, of course, on the bench in his debut match for the Rabbitohs against the team he just left, which is just pure poetry.
Yeah, awesome. I'm going Robinson. I'm going Robinson. So I think they have a decent crack.
Oh, and yeah, and under the radar story. Oh, actually, was this last week? Dallin Watene Zalesniak is back. After that. And was that last week?
Yeah. No, he played last week.
Okay. All right. I just lose track of so many players going out and coming back in. Was there even, and there's concerns that Blake Taft might not be fit for this one. Did I read that somewhere as well?
Yeah, he's ill. Look, this game has a lot of potential to go anyway. And I'm actually a little bit more excited than a lot of people in this one, just because both these teams can put on a show when they need to. It's going to be wet. It's going to be fun. It's going to be slippery. They're all just going to go after each other. I reckon. And the Warriors, I think, have a really strong point to prove. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game. I hope that Warriors can do something here.
2 points to finish off on this one. If Taff does pull out, you'd assume Johnston would go to fullback and Josh Mansell in on the wing? Or is there an outside chance that Isaiah Tass would come in?
Nah, just Mansell. They've got to go to safe option.
And Trent Peoples, for anyone who picked him up last week in Supercoach Cheapy, scored almost 70 points. He's in the reserves.
Yeah, but he's a legal player, so watch out for that too. Who are you picking?
I'm going to go Warriors, despite Campbell Graham playing his 100th game for the Bunnies. And congratulations to Campbell.
You're boring. All right, next game, Gold Coast versus St. George. Jaden Campbell return at fullback. AJ Brimson shifts to 5'8". Will Smith is out, so essentially it's the same team that was expected at the start of the thing. Sammy and Asako on the wings with Thompson and Maju out. And Dragons, Anthony Griffin. I like this line. Stuck with same 17, took the game up to the Storm in the first half before being fucking rolled in the second half. I'm actually going to go Gold Coast on this. I wouldn't be surprised if they rose to the occasion and Dragons have a bit of a hangover from getting belted last week.
Well, I think one way that the Dragons staff try to lessen that, they've stayed in Melbourne the entire week after their game against the Storm. They're going to fly straight to Brisbane instead of going through or come back to Sydney Centre for a couple of days and then coming up. So hopefully the team will be a little more settled. I didn't like the change before the game last week. I dislike the fact that it's been kept for this week. I don't think this is the strongest side that the strongest combinations that Dragons could put out there. I too would prefer Jack Bird at 5'8" at present and bring, say, Fui Maiono off the bench into the edge, although well mentioned earlier to us that he's been playing through the middle, but I think there's...
Well, we'll mention later.
Yeah, we'll mention later. We've already recorded, but... Yeah, I really don't know, especially coming up with such an inexperienced halves pairing in Brimson and Sexton. If you put them up against Hunt and then Bird, that's really a spot where they can stamp their dominance. Interesting to see how SM Masters goes, but I'm going to go... Jesus. I'll go Titans because they're at home.
Jeez, you're boring, man. Okay.
I'll go Dragons. There you go.
Okay. Dragons. Okay, next game. Best game of the round. Best game of
is
the month.
Is it now?
It's going to be epic. This is because of the losing happened, hasn't it?
And Smith.
Brandon Smith's not playing.
No, Remy is Smith. Nah.
Oh, yeah. Craig
and Bellamy, maybe not Kenny Bromwich.
Meany to the wing to fullback. Pipe for Ryan Pappenhausen. Dino Rima coming onto wing. Rima Smith is also out. Marion Sevi comes into the team. Kenny Bromwich has been named to play despite suffering a knock against the Dragons. Scott Sorensen after missing the game due to illness last week. Matt Eisenhoof goes back to reserves. And Penrith are unchanged with Brian Toto sticking out onto that right wing, and they're keeping the combination with Targo and May out on the left. Best game in the round, going to be epic. Yes, they're losing Pappenhausen, but Nick Meany's coming into form, and if there's any team who could lose a fullback and play consistently well, it is Melbourne Storm.
I think you're underselling Pappenhausen there a little bit.
No, it's a system. They all play in it. Obviously, that back line is a bit weaker, but...
I would put 60% of Pappenhausen's tries this year not down to the system.
Either way. It'd be interesting to see if Jerome Luai goes missing again like he did last week. Big game. Big players are supposed to step up in those games. He did not. So that'd be interesting. Other than that, four-back battle is going to be epic. Nelson and Solomona versus James Fisher-Harris is what dreams are made of right now. It's just going to be all kinds of fun to watch this game. I can't wait.
I'm going to state the obvious, and I'm disappointed that it's not going to be full strength versus full strength. What's it going to mean if Penrith lose to this Storm team?
I don't think it means anything.
Really?
Nah, not at all. I honestly believe that the systems of Melbourne play in place. It's not like for like. Yes, they are weaker, but like...
Would you say the same if, say, Cleary and...
No.
Say, Crichton were missing for Penrith and Storm?
No, because I'd be very disappointed. No, I wouldn't. I'd be disappointed in Storm.
That's what I mean. If say Storm were full strength and Penrith were missing Cleary and Crichton and
I'd be disappointed that Storm lost to a team with missing those people. I'm not disappointed that Penrith lose against this squad just because how good Melbourne are.
But you'd be disappointed the other way around.
Yes, because I have higher standards for Melbourne.
Yeah, so do I. I just think it's a... There's other players in the squad that they could have lost, which obviously wouldn't have had a big an impact. Hand this year. There's a reason why he broke the point scoring record in the first nine rounds. He's had a hand in almost everything they've done.
He's a great player. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying I'm relying on Melbourne's system.
Yeah, the system's good, but it's also better when you've got a distraction in place. And Nick Manny's not much of a distraction. To be fair.
I know. You played a good game last week. You've been playing a good all year, to be honest.
Yeah, on the wing. Picking up a ball off the ground and running 80 metres is good.
He's overshadowing the Queensland Origin buy they brought in this year.
Yeah, and he's not overshadowing. He's had a triple in a four-try
game. This is what I hate. Everyone rates... Try scoring ability for a fullback. A fullback. It's not about try scoring ability for me. It's about what they do off the ball.
Wingers do nothing off the ball.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Look at the Penrith wingers. Brian Toto is probably the biggest media eater in the game. He made like 220 meters on the
ball. You said off the ball. What? If he's got the ball, if he's doing a return, he's got the ball, you're numpty.
No, that's another issue that you're having right now. Off the ball means shit no one cares about.
No, off the ball means when you don't have.
No, no, shit no one cares about. No one cares about his runs. No, everyone. See, highlights from rugby league are people scoring tries, right? Highlights for Andrew Johns when or Jonathan Firth's is try. It's tries and tries. It's mainly tries. You can't tell me that one of the best things about Joey Johns and Jonathan Thurston is what they do, the little things they do in the game, put people in holes, create feints, that kind of stuff. You're
comparing Nick Meaney.
No, no, but this is my point. No.
Halfbacks do a hell of a lot off the ball. Wingers' jobs are drop, catch the ball, run the ball back with meters. Off the ball, their job is to maintain their position on the wing and finish off a backline move.
No one actually respects what you do in your own half.
Yes, they do.
No, don't. Not doing it right now. That's my issue with David Fifita. He doesn't run in his own half, and everyone goes, "Oh, well, aren't you a stupid person because he scores tries?" He doesn't do anything in his own half. I would put Brian Tolo in second row before I put David Fifita in second row. It's what you do when shit is hard that matters. And Nick Meaney does better than Xavier Coates in that regard. You're
concepts of the game into one, trying to put it into one argument.
But that's my point. There's so many concepts of the game that are so underrated that players do that no one cares about.
Yeah, true. It still doesn't put Nick Meaney in any issue.
And that's why I think Meaney is doing better than Coates. That's why I think Meaney's doing better than Coates this year, because he's doing the little things better than Coates this year. Yes, Coates is scoring three doubles. Yay! Everyone can do that in the back of Melbourne's back line. Reality of it is, I pick Meaney over Coates right now.
Okay, you do that. I'm picking the winger who's scoring tries, because that's their job.
Yeah, see, there you go.
That's their main job. That's literally why they're in the team.
You know why, Mel? Do you actually see how Penrith win games? Do you see what happens when they receive a kick?
Yeah.
What do they do? What's their tactic?
If they can, they get Tua involved on the second play, where most teams will kick to him, so he can't have as devastating impact. Edwards will generally come in either for a scoot or, depending on who the winger is, Taylor May's been doing a better job of it than Charlie Staines. He'll wrap around. Once that's done, they generally have Fisher-Harris back in place. If he can, he'll get two hit-ups to finish the set on the third and the fifth. And then, depending on the position that they're in, Cleary will kick it long because Lua's got no kicking game.
So, yes and no. You've got the basic plan down, but first three to four tackles in every Penrith get-out set is wingers or centres running the ball and fullback. But do you see what the forwards do in that time?
Rest.
How?
On the way back, slowly.
They don't go back.
I said slowly, so they're in position for
the kick. No, they don't move backwards.
Yeah, I hate that, because that means they should be offside and they shouldn't be able to make the tackle. So, but anyway,
that's the thing. They sit on the 40 to 50-meter line where that fifth tackle happens. Then Cleary runs past them. They're onside. They're not running back 30 to 40 meters, expelling. So Penrith's defensive...
Storm's been doing that for ever.
No, they haven't. Penrith only started doing it 2 years ago when they became strong. No one has actually done that. They don't. No one else has done that. Penrith has started that, and what they're doing is they're saving strength, and that's why the defensive sets are able so strong, because they're not running the extra 50 meters that general players do. They're very smart in their own half, and the only team to do it now. The other teams are starting to do it, and they realize what's happening. But the reality of it is that, and this is my point about wingers and centers being so important, that no one's realizing it, that out of their half, Penrith wingers and centers run 75 to 80% of the ball. And that's the shit no one actually mentions about Brian Toho and all those kind of players. No one talks about that.
I don't know what rock you're living under, but that's pretty much the only thing they talk about with Brian Toho is his ball return ability and how hard he is to tackle. And if you're saying that they're the only team where wingers and centers are running the ball the most out of their half, you've obviously never watched the Roosters or the Storm play because they've been doing it for freaking ages.
No, they're not the only teams that do that. What I'm saying is
it comes back to the original point that replacing Papenhuyzen with anyone that's not in that elite echelon of fullbacks is going to be a massive drop-off. And it is, regardless of what the game's going to be, less entertaining than it would be with him on the field.
I don't care about entertainment.
What? That's not the sports it's about. Not,
no, it's not. It's about, like, entertainment.
Penrith should win. They're coming up against the weakest Storm back line that they've had so far, probably this season. And they kind of, if they, it's not obviously going to cost them anything really, losing back to active Parramatta and then the Storm, but it's not ideal either.
Are you picking Penrith?
I'm picking Penrith because they should win based on who's on the field, but obviously the Storm are the Storm and they can pull anything out, but they're just obviously going to find it harder.
You're picking Penrith.
Talking about not finding it hard, Sharks should win against the Raiders.
There's one more thing on that one. Out of the two of them, who would be better in wet weather football? Because you actually based a bet on wet weather football when people hear it about.
Are we talking about Sharks and Raiders or the previous?
No, just Melbourne and Penrith. Just back to it quickly. Who's better at wet weather football? Because consistently, if you want to grind out a team, you use Melbourne as a definition of it.
Yeah. If it comes, down to wet weather, I'd pick Melbourne because I think Munster, Hughes, and Grant are better at playing direct than Luai, Cleary, and Coruscant.
Yeah, that should be a good battle with Grant versus Coruscant. That'd be great. I'm going Storm.
The thing I'm most looking forward to is kind of weird. Josh King and Isaiah Yeo. I think the way that King's been playing, he's the perfect prototype to shut Yeo's ball playing influence on the game down. Sharks versus Raiders. So Jesse Ramien is out. Will Kennedy is out, which puts Nicho Hynes back to fullback. Not a bad replacement. Brandon Trindle comes into the starting side at the 7, and Connor Tracy is a starting center. Royce Hunt comes onto the bench with, was Jack Williams there last week? I can't really remember. He's kind of one of those guys for me. I can't really remember if he's ever
good in on player, though.
Cameron Kemp's been named on the bench after starting at lock last week, but he could come into the starting side once again, and Finucane would shift to prop with Tolman going back to the bench. Just keep an eye out for that. Ronaldo Mulitalo is back this week. For the Raiders, Adam Elliott remains the starting hooker with Tom Stallion on the bench, but the pair could swap again on game day. Sebastian Chris moves from the bench to the starting side to replace Croker, who's out for 2 to 3 weeks. And Xavier Savage joins the interchange bench. If you've got an exciting dynamic outside back, I don't think you could deploy them any worse than how they're deploying Xavier Savage. It's wing 1 week, fullback the next week, interchange the next week, reserves the next week. How's he meant to how's a youngster meant to develop if they've got, it would be better saying stay in reserve grade all year, you'll have a starting wing spot next year if you do well.
And then they got Sebastian Chris in the centers. I don't understand it. There must be something. Like Ricky Stewart's been quite vocal about the fact that he's developing these players and he doesn't want these players who aren't first grade ready to play to be playing because they're making silly mistakes. But like Sebastian Chris, what, he's played about 15 games in total? I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
Using, say, Cooler as an example in Manly, I like how I would or will like if he just stays that center all season. I don't care whoever gets fit. I don't care when his form dips because it's going to. It hasn't even really taken off yet. But when it gets to its lowest low point, you can accept that because he's freaking 19 years old. And you ride it through and he'll come good on the other side. And that's the only way that they learn at this level. If he has one bad game and he's dropped back to the reserves, that's going to have the opposite effect. I got Sharks in this one. I hope it's going to be low scoring based on my bet for this week.
Yeah, I got Sharks as well.
Especially if it's wet, like Nico Hines, footwork, Talakai up against Chris and Tomoko. Maltalo back after a week off. His battle with Nick Kotrick's going to be pretty decent. Two big humans there. And then Rapana against Sione Katoa could be good if it was a bit drier. And these guys, these teams haven't played this season yet, have they? I have a feeling they might have, but you're not sure. I think I might be thinking of Parramatta taking on Canberra when it was very close. That was like round one. Talking about Parramatta, second last game of the round, Eels and Roosters.
Roosters could shit this in.
Should, hopefully would be an absolute cracker of a game. Jared's working under the pretense that the Eels, a week after being up for a big game, shit their pants this following week. He's using the Melbourne Storm example, where they beat Melbourne in Melbourne, and then what happened the week after?
Didn't they lose to fucking Cowboys 35-5 or something?
Up in Townsville? That wasn't the week after the Storm.
Was it? Well,
you look it up. I'll go through team changes.
Yeah.
No late change expected for the Roosters. They've remained in Brisbane after their win over the Titans last week in Mackay. Connor Watson replaces Sam Verrills at hooker, while Siasoff at Takiaho has been promoted to start for the suspended Lindsay Collins. For the Eels, unchanged after their last week's win over Penrith, Sean Russell, Jacob Arthur have been included amongst the reserves, but are unlikely to play.
They beat Melbourne, then they smacked St. George. But in the last four rounds, so they lost to Tigers, and then they shadow over Newcastle, and then they got shat on by the Cowboys, and then they one of the best games of the year. They beat Penrith last week, full strength Penrith.
So there's nothing about your philosophy that made sense then?
Well, yeah, there is. In the last 4 weeks, what I just said. It's not even the last 4 weeks. For the last 3 years, they've been exactly the same.
So you're going Roosters after their big win over the Titans last week, which makes sense. Can the Roosters now back it up?
I think so.
They've got the talent to do it.
Yeah, back line: Tedesco, Tupou, Momorowski, Manu, Suwali, Walker, Kiri. Their four-pack: Rhea Hargraves, Tapiaro, Watson at nine.
Yeah, it's been the same Tupou all year.
And Radley. Yeah. Well, they've had a few injuries, especially in their back line. The four packs remain the same. Connor Watson's a pretty strong inclusion. He might be a late change with Hutchison starting at nine like they used to do. I just think the Roosters got better big name players. Better big game players, sorry. And Parramatta, they put so much effort into last week. And another part of it is Parramatta are quite flary in the way they play. By the time this game rolls around, if we get the weather we've got, the balls is going to be, it's just going to be a mud pit. Old school 80s game. And I think that Roosters will handle that better.
And it's funny because the Roosters have had a pretty easy draw so far. Their record so far is loss, win, loss, win, 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 loss, loss, win. So their biggest win streak of the year has been two. And that was over the Cowboys, which has still been their best game of the year, and then the Broncos, and then the Warriors. So that was Broncos 5 weeks ago when they weren't real flash. That was the first time they kind of gave them a bit of a crack. If you look at their whole season so far, the only top eight teams, and look at the perennial top eight teams of the last few years. They had Manly in round two. They beat them pretty handily. They got smacked around by the Rabbitohs. And everyone else is bottom eight from last year. Now, the Cowboys have improved, obviously, on the ladder, but Roosters beat them before Cowboys went on that winning roll. And the Broncos are now in the eight, and they beat them by 4 points. But outside that, they've versed the Warriors, the Dragons, the Bulldogs, the Titans, and the Knights. So, and then they just casually put 44 on the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, so, where are you going?
Yeah. Oh, fuck if I know. I'm going to go Roosters. Despite the fact that Eels are the only team to beat Melbourne and Penrith in a season in however long.
Yeah. Next game to round it out, you've got Tigers versus the Cowboys.
That would have been a great game to have on Friday night.
I actually agree with that one. Luciano Lua to make a return against Cowboys, his future side. Alex Saifas switches to the bench and McKaylee moving into the reserves. Kemba Marlowe has been named despite failing HIA last week. Todd Payton has named unchanged lineup with Tom Gilbert cleared to play after escaping $1,800 for tackling and trying to take out the best player in the competition in Matt Croker last week. Hamisel Tibau-Fido will come off the bench for this one again for the third straight week. Yeah, it's going to be this is actually going to be – it's the complete opposite of what Adam said the other week. Oh, sorry, not the opposite, but 3 weeks ago, if you saw this as the last game on Magic, you're going to be like, oh, shit, this is going to be horrible.
I wouldn't have said that. I would have said it's going to be a belting.
No, because we Cowboys started a bit slow as well.
I've picked them in every game.
They're both well and truly on the up. It'd be a good game seeing Brooks and Hastings versus Dearden and Townsend. Just two sets of halves who, let's face it, they're both in form. I just think that the back line it's got too much star power for the Cowboys. You got a bottom line, you got Felton Holmes. Luke Garner's a very serviceable centre, but I think if he comes up against a decent centre like Holmes, the way he's been playing, I think he might get found out a fair chunk.
Are we saying the Tigers are on the up?
They are. Okay. I'll give them that.
It's quite funny.
And my favourite player in the competition is playing up front again and Ruben Cotter.
So they're 7-2. Sorry, 2-7. And their two wins have been...
There's only one way they could have gone.
I know.
And that's up.
Their two wins have been Eels and Rabbitohs, which is hilarious.
The only thing I'm a bit disappointed by is Stefano Utukumano's off the bench. If anyone in this Tigers squad deserves a starting spot, it's that bloke. For me,
Stefano Utukumano. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
Without him,
he was just coming back from injury last week, though.
Doesn't matter. He's one of those players that you rush in, give him the 8 of 10 as soon as you can. He was their only player last year, and yeah, he's easily their best player by far.
Cool. I'm going Cowboys.
Yes, am I.
They are rolling. However, even though the Tigers have lost their last two, it was 12-6 to Dragons. And when they had their chance against Manly, they took them. They just didn't get enough of them and obviously didn't defend. So I think the Cowboys' defense will be the difference because I think both top sides can score points when in position to do so. But I'm still, sticking with Cowboys. So do we have – what are our differences this week?
Only difference is Storm and Penrith.
There is a possibility mine could flip the Titans and Dragons. No, I went Dragons, I think.
You went Dragons, and then other than that, nothing. You went Roosters.
Yeah.
It's Nick Picks.
I never get sick of that Knicks tips intro. And here we are with the tipster himself. Kind of, I was expecting him to be just raining money down through his camera after last week's effort. And I don't know if it makes me feel better or worse when we get the picture message of your winnings. I'm thinking it kind of makes us look good on the show for a week. And then I'm going, disposable income.
I've got a pull of money out the back of the house now, actually. So, I'm sweet.
We sit there in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. We even know Walt's in a good mood because he sends the text. So we don't hear from him at all.
Especially 100%. After the Dragons got beaten by 40.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it me talking up going, if any of the teams that the Storm have played lately could keep them slightly in check, I thought it'd be the Dragons. And then
did you say that?
Well, this is before he switched to Mone to 5-8.
Yeah. Mone to 5-8. Well, that wasn't the smartest move. Can you explain what's going on this week? Is that happening again this weekend?
Mone was named at 6, so I assume...
Which means there'll be a change.
Because with Jaden Sewer being out, we don't really have the depth of back row at the moment. So I think that...
You've got Fulmer under on the bench.
But he's playing in the middle at the moment. I think our
Jackson other Ford,
Tarek Sims would play on the edge, and then we'd play Bird at 6. But
you got Jack Sweski, mate.
Wasn't Sims named it prop
lock?
A lock.
He's locked this week.
Yeah,
he just did a prop last week. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
Maguire on the edge and Sims at lock. That seems weird.
Mate, Maguire's been our best player since he's come back from suspension. Maguire on the edge. He's been good.
Because you have Bird at second row, I wouldn't mind seeing Tyrell Sloan go at 14 and then Sullivan at 6. Drop a Mone all together. Just let that speed run in the middle, because right now, with not going to do anything. And I really hope they don't put Sullivan at 9 again, but they will.
So I'm going to check odds of Amane for player of the match now after Jared said that. Let's have a look.
You ripped him before the podcast anyway, mate. Relax.
Me?
Yes. No proof.
You have no proof.
If they go Sloan, he has to start. Otherwise, you're giving the bloke no chance to get into the game, and then they've got to try and make up for lost time. So
I think you need some speed.
Oh, we need a lot of things, but Empire's been good. Last week, he saved 3 tries, 1-on-1, a couple of meters out from his line, where our defensive line just collapsed.
Too bad he saved the rest of the 12.
Yeah, well, you can only save so many, make so many tackles, can't you?
So we've got a lot. We bring Wall on, and it turns into the Dragons analysis pod. And he is here to win us some money. So I'm just going to try and bring us around here. So as it stands, I've got $140 in my kitty. Jared's on $90.75, and Wall's on $95.14. We all start at $100. Wall did come in a little bit later, but I think he's lost the most and also gained the most within the short period of time he's been here, and that's it's kind of how it goes. We don't hear from him on the weekends he loses.
Yeah, that sums up my life as a gambler, really.
Yep. There we go. So I was talking before hitting record. I'm gonna go balls to the wall bet this week, the short amount of money or at large odds, because if it doesn't come off, there's a high chance that the other two will catch up to me. And as well reminded Jared, it's around 10, and Jared's money was out by around 12 or something last year, which made a very boring betting competition.
It was like around 17. Fucking relax.
12 to 17.
No, it was not.
It was. You have no proof unless you want to listen to the podcast.
All the matches between say round 5 and round 17 don't even matter anyway. So let's go. Who's going first?
$10 on Newcastle, $2.10.
Yeah, we just got the 10-minute warning from Zoom because they've cheaped out. Sorry, I was listening. $10 on Newcastle. Oh,
yeah,
God.
They'll beat the Bulldogs tomorrow night. You wait.
What's that paying? $2.
$2.10.
That's $21.
Pretty good odds considering how well they've been playing recently.
Get on them. I told you to get on them at 13 plus, mate.
Yeah, no, plus. No. We scored 20 points in the last three games. Just relax. Oh, actually, what, 20 points
in the last paying for a penalty goal? That's their first, that's probably their first pretty, points.
Probably pretty high odds considering Kalen Ponga's kicking.
Yeah, true.
Ooh.
That's well, Jared's is very boring. Mine will make up for that. It's all good. Who's going?
Here you go. Not
well, you go. You just pumped yourself up, mate.
Yeah, you got to go now.
Oh, I got to go. All right. So I've got
been here for a while. I've got three bets to talk through.
All right. I've got a four-leg multi.
Oh, fuck.
I'm putting money on a player that I don't rate. I'm
bloody picking... Don't put money on Cherry Evans.
Oh, there we go. So I've got... this. I'm focusing Harper. On the Sharks Canberra game. I'm banking on the rain here as well. So this is going to sound weird. I got Sharks to win 1-12 with total match points under 39.5 with Connor Tracy to score. And
is he playing the centers?
All right. Yeah, he's playing the centers.
Yeah.
And who was the other one? I think it was Talakai to score.
Didn't you write this down?
Yeah. There's the four. There's the oh, there it is. There. I had to open it back up. Yeah, Talakai to score. So that's four legs, Talakai and Tracy to be on anytime try scorers. Total match points under 39.5 with Sharks to win 1-12. That's paying $42.50. If I change it to 13 plus, it drops it to $22.
So you're relying on the fact it's going to be pouring rain. There's only going to be like limited points scored and Sharks are only going to win 1-12. The way Canberra have been playing recently, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a bit of a flogging this weekend.
Yeah. Canberra have won their last seven games against the Sharks.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've got a good record against the Sharks.
It's kind of like Manly, and then Sharks like proved that they could change that earlier this year. But that was also a very nice game. If the weather comes as it's meant to, and this game's on the Sunday as well mentioned, they could be playing like, in a bog. So, and he also got Nicho Hynes going back to fullback, which isn't a downgrade, obviously, but missing Rami and Will Kennedy, who has a big part to play in their backline moves. Yeah. So I'm thinking something like a 20 to 8, something like that. I'm hoping.
Tell you what, though, Braden Trindle's been playing well in reserve grade this week, this year. Yeah.
So is James Seguiaro. Just throwing that out there because Manly game extended his train and trial deal.
What is that's just a pointless comment. Lachlan Croker is the best hookie you ever get.
Depends how much I pay.
Braden Trindle's been playing awesomely well in the New South Wales Cup, so he should fit in quite nicely in this Sharks attack.
He's had what two or three games this year and been pretty disappointing. So this is his chance to. Stamp his authority on it.
He's only stepping into Nicho Hynes' shoes.
I think you'll find Hynes will still control the game, to be fair. Like, you saw him last week. He was pretty much playing fullback and halfback. I know he had to because they had someone sent off, but he didn't seem to struggle with that added responsibility of playing two roles.
Yeah, true. I think it's also this week, there's also the pressure back on them to win in that role. I think as soon as those players went off, no one was expecting Cronulla to win, and he kind of said, I still expect us to win. Fitzy still expects us to win, even if no one else does. I think the send-off and the Simon actually took pressure off them, whereas this week everyone's going to expect them to win regardless, as they should. So anyway, $5. Yeah. All right, well.
Very good.
Everyone sit back and relax. This could take a while. Depending on how... Actually, no. Let's go.
How long have we got left in the recording?
4 minutes. 4 minutes and 52 seconds.
All right, speed round.
We'll probably get through one.
My confident one is a two-leg multi. I've got Penrith to win by 4 or more. I've got Sharks to win by 10 or more. And that's $3.78 odds. And so I'm putting $10 on that. And Sportsbet says I'll win $37.88 if that comes off. So that's bet number one.
Plus, and you're putting $10 on that?
Yep.
$10 outlay gives you a what? 30 something?
$37.88. Because I wouldn't want to give you a round number to work with.
Of course. Who would do that?
Then I've got a anytime try scorer that I like. Ewan Aitken at $5.75 odds.
Oof. Yeah, right.
South. So I want to chuck $3.50 on that. at I think it was $20.12, I think it was paying.
Was it 5.45?
5.75. So yeah, $3.50 will give me $20.12.
Alright.
And then last but not least, I've got a three-leg same game multi in the Warriors South game. I've got Ewan Aitken anytime try scorer into Alex Johnson anytime try scorer.
He's back at him.
Into the Warriors to win. That's $26 odds. And because I want to round down to $80 overall, I'm putting $1.64 on it. And the returns would be $42.64.
So $1.64 at $26.
$26 flat. You're loving this Ewan Aitken bloke this weekend, aren't you?
Oh, he's playing good footy, man. He'll probably end up getting knocked out. Like, he got knocked out last week, so he probably...
Yeah, he still has to pass the HIA to be able to play.
It was a pretty bad knockout, too, but he'll be right. So, yeah, that was $42.64, the winnings in that last one, so...
That's probably the best bet out of the three of us, I reckon. $1.64 outlay for a $40-something return. Love it.
Yeah. I like the Penrith into Sharks one, though. I think Penrith will be too good for Storm this week. They'll be up for it.
Oh, there we go. That's also a big call.
Calls, mate.
For the big calls.
So, was that $3.50 at $5.75? So, to recap, we have Jared going $10 on the Knights to win. And we have myself going Sharks to win. 1-12, less than 40 points with Talakai and Tracy. So just a couple of things have to happen. And then Wal's got a two-leg multi, Penrith to win 4+, Sharks to win 10+. He's got $10 on that one for a return of $37.88. Anytime try score on Ewan Aitken, $3.50 at $5.75. And then a three-leg Ewan Aitken and Alex Johnson anytime try scorers into Warriors to win $1.64 outlay. At $26 for a
$42.64, mate.
Thank you. $42.64.
Don't rip me off any cents.
There we go. You know what? Next week I'm thinking, like, after I lose my bet, I'm gonna put on $14.16 for blah. And that'll be the one I win. All right.
This is something about round down bets, mate. You gotta do it.
Yeah, it's actually hurting my eyes looking at all the random cents everywhere. I can't do it. All right, thanks, Will. Good luck. Cheers, for the boys. Weekend. You're heading down on the Saturday, I believe.
Oh, no, I didn't end up going in the end. We fucked around too long because we've got a family thing Sunday morning, so then my brother wasn't sure if we were going, and then the tickets ended up selling out. So just be watching from watched it from the comfort of the lounge room, mate.
Done. All right, mate. We'll catch you next week.
Cheers, boys.
This should be a really interesting week of footy. And if you didn't hear our wrap-up show last week, have a look at the ladder before this week's games, because 12 of the 16 teams, I believe, are versing the team next to them on the ladder. First versus second, fifth versus sixth, seventh versus eighth, ninth versus 10th, 15th versus 16th. So, sorry, 10 of the 16 teams, not 12. So... there's going to be a lot of movement. There has to be a lot of movement on the ladder at some stage over the weekend, which is going to be awesome to watch. All righty. Good luck. If you're going to Magic Round, take an umbrella. Stay safe on the roads. In the end, it is just a game of footy, so don't put yourself in harm's way just to get there. Anything else from you, Jared?
Nah. See you guys.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.